Welcome to Absolute Truth Absolutely, the weekly podcast powered by LWYM and your host, Gio. If you're uncompromising in your search and preservation of the truth, you've come to the right place. Now here's your host, Gio, with Pastor Jesus Martinez.
Hello, ladies and gents. Once again, Absolute Truth Absolutely with your host, Gio, and here with my father and pastor of Living Word Ministries in Miami, Florida, Jesus Martinez.
Thank you, Gio, for once again allowing me to share in this format that allows us to share the Word of God with the listeners.
Absolutely. This week, we're going to be speaking about a lesson in responsibility. This whole Occupy Wall Street and it's also occurring in other cities, in other states, got me thinking a little bit about their message. What is their message? What is it that they're trying to tell people that are trying to watch and listen and, you know, so the sights, the sounds that are going throughout the news media? And every time they interview one of the protesters, they all seem to say the exact same thing. We're here to fight against corporate greed. Corporate greed, corporate greed. We got to stop the corporate greed. But yet, when you ask them how the capitalist system works, how our system of government works and whatnot, these people don't have a single clue, an idea of how it is that the free market system and the capitalist system work. And when you get to the nitty-gritty of it, you find that most of them, what they want is a handout. They want to be given things instead of them going out to earn them, instead of working for their wages, instead of working for whatever it is that they're looking for, whatever the case may be. And this brought to mind, at least to my mind, the lack of responsibility that we're seeing in our day and age. And I think we can prove that part of the reason our society, our culture, is experiencing this irresponsibility everywhere is because the church has not done its job in promoting the gospel message. But before we get to that, I guess we'll try to bring everything into a nutshell. The message, the common message nowadays, even though people don't use words, is it's not my fault, it's everyone else's fault for the reasons that I do the things that I do. Am I incorrect in saying this?
Well, what I see, Gio, is not only what you have just placed on the conversation table, if you will, but I also see the duplicity of the people that think this way, because going back to the takeover of Wall Street, or the occupation of Wall Street, I find that this is the same liberal group that says that morality cannot be legislated, and now they want to legislate greed. I find that very contradictive. It's like the people that say, pro-choice, a woman should have a right to abortion, and then they advocate on that side. And when a pregnant woman is shot to death, the guy, the culprit who kills the woman, he's brought down on two charges of homicide.
Yeah.
You can't have it both ways. And also, these people are coming up against companies and individuals behind these companies that started out as poor people, and they were just given the same shot that everybody wants to break out of poverty and, you know, do something about your situation and your family situation. And now they're saying, oh, these people are the evildoers. Plus, most of them will never speak against the universities that have indebted them, because most of them are young people who are out there who are up to their necks in bills and in debt, because that's the way they came out of college, and now they can't find a job to pay for those bills.
Yep.
And the truth of the matter is that the unemployment ratio for most of the citizens of this country who have a college degree is 50% less than for those that don't have a college degree. So I not only agree with your opening statement that people are looking for handouts because it's a lot easier, but I believe it's duplicitous. I believe hypocrisy is at work. And so at the end of the day, since the topic is irresponsibility, we need to look at it, of course, from the biblical point of view, but also how it's manifesting itself in our everyday surroundings.
Well, one of the things that you'll see, especially with these groups and others, it's not just the Occupy Wall Street protesters, it's also many other people. We'll look at living couples, they'll say, we don't get married because we don't want to be part of the divorce rate, and they'll try to justify fornication. That's what they try to do. And they say, the reason we don't want to get married is because we don't want to end up like my mom or dad or like the rest of society. In other words, they're blaming society's woes for them trying to justify their sin. And this goes in many other routes. For example, psychology. Psychology teaches you, let's go back to your youth and see what traumatic experience you had in order to see who it was that traumatized you, that makes you act the way that you act now. It's not my fault, it's everyone else's fault. And that's what's at the core of the message of the Wall Street protesters, of those that are fornicating, those that go against God's word. It's all over the place. This is just several different manifestations of the same irresponsibility.
Gio, if there is exculpatory explanation or justification for all of our actions and our deeds, then judgment must be banned altogether.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It has to disappear, because if we can explain, this is the reason why I do this and I can't help myself, then we have to do away with any and all judgment.
Well, we think about the Nuremberg trials. What was one of the things that the Nazis were arguing? They made me do this. Yes, I was part of the SS. Yes, I was part of the Nazi army. But this was the culture of the day and age. We had to kill Jews because this is what Hitler told us to do. That doesn't excuse you. You're an accomplice of the crime. You killed the person. You got to pay for it. But you see, that's the mentality that has now creeped in into our culture. It's funny because having dozens of conversations with you, you grew up in an earlier phase of American culture where even people who were sinners would promote and advocate responsibility for your actions, for the consequences of your actions and of your sayings. You had to take on the responsibility. But once we had the hippie movement come in and around, the 60s, the 70s, and then all the way through, we see that, no, it's not my fault. And especially with Freudian psychology slipping in, now we've got everyone else is at fault except for me. But this is something, correct me if I'm wrong, that goes back from the beginning of creation. When we see that Adam and Eve sin, that they eat of the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, what occurs? They flee from God's presence. At least they tried to. That's impossible. And then God asks a rhetorical question. Adam, where are you? Well, I fled because...
Yeah, the blame game.
Exactly. Immediately, what does he do? The woman that you gave me. And then when God shifts his focus on Eve, she says, it was the serpent that deceived me.
In essence, you're to blame for this. If you hadn't left the serpent, you know, and then you take it from there, none of this would have happened, so they're blaming God.
Exactly. But it's a continual thing. I don't want to take responsibility for my actions. Now, if we can deal with just a little bit, why is it that the culture shies away from responsibility, from obligation, from commitments, from being steadfast? Obviously, there's a problem here in the very center. And it's people don't want to take on the responsibility of whether it is parenthood, whether it is responsibility for their relationships, for, you know, maintaining, keeping a steady job, being a good employee, being a good Christian. We can deal with so many, we can, you know, tackle this in so many different areas, but irresponsibility is the common clay.
Gio, I've heard of believers who refuse to get married because if they do, they're going to lose the welfare, the stamps that they get for food, you know, they allow a certain amount of money for that. And so they rather shack up than do the right thing before the eyes of God, which is to get married. And that way they draw money from the government, from the taxpayers, even though they're perfectly healthy. They can and should be married. But, you know, it's a lot easier this way. What the people that refuse to own up to responsibility don't understand is that when you don't, you're digging your own grave. You're creating a hole for yourself that you will not be able to get out of it, because any and all attempts that you don't succeed in them, you will say, you see, I just can't get out of this. And you start believing your own lie and the lies that they have fed you that you cannot get out of these situations. And so at one point or another, you stop trying. And you know what? If you would have kept at it, if you would have given it one more shot, you probably would have stepped out of that. Because we look at some of the great people in history, and they failed on many occasions before they finally hit the blank, before they finally hit the target. Yep. So to go one, two, three tries, and you see, I can't get out. They must be right. It's the culture, it's the condition, it's genetics. And they blame all kinds of things. And so I'm doomed to this. I'm sentenced to this. And so I say once again that people that refuse to own up to their issues, to be responsible, at the end, all they're doing is digging their own graves.
You make a good point about people having failed over and over again. Abraham Lincoln is probably the prime example of that. Abraham Lincoln failed at almost everything he undertook.
Ford, Franklin.
Tons of people. We can talk about tons and tons of individuals that failed and failed miserably at things, but
don't
yet
they call
kept
it
at it.
Trial and error?
Well, that's what they call it. But nowadays, in our psychological age, if you want to call it that, they'll call that a disorder.
Yeah. The disorder of trial and error.
The disorder of trial and error. The disorder of trying and trying again until you finally get it right. It's never going to happen. But you see, this is where the message, correct me if I'm wrong, of communism and socialism, which are anti-biblical doctrines, Marxism, Leninism, all of these other things, comes in and tries to replace the biblical tenet of if you work, you eat. If you don't work, you don't eat. It's very simple. We see it established in the Bible. But then you've got these other ideologies that come in and say, no, you can't make it. We'll make it for you.
Well, they'll use those words because I remember Fidel quoting that. And then eventually as I was, you know, the Lord was merciful upon me and he got me to be born again. I can remember now that Fidel used to quote that. I don't know where he got it from. But the difference is that in Fidel's mentality and in the socialist communist mentality, you work for the state because at the end of the day, you're just a worker ant and not for yourself. Yep. And it's taken from you and not like the Bible teaches that you give it away out of the goodness of your heart, if you will. So it's very corrupt. And it's, look, you previously mentioned about the hippie generation. And it started where? In the universities again. Yep. Because this is where the dumbing down of America has taken place. Yep. These people that are out there now protesting in Wall Street and throughout the nation, they owe thousands upon thousands of dollars. Why don't they speak out against the universities? Because these are their places of worship where they were taught to think the way that they think. And they've made some of these schools very, very, very rich. They've made a lot of money for these schools and for some of the professors, and they dare not speak against them, even though their thought life was poisoned by them. Yep. Because, Gio, there's a lot of money in many, many of these universities, and they won't say a thing against them.
Yep.
And that's where they learned this mentality of pass the buck, blame somebody else.
Well, here's the other idea about all of that, the other contradictory and hypocritical idea of all this. You hear people, individuals like Barack Obama, George Soros, Nancy Pelosi, Michael Moore, Kanye West, all these other people who say, I support the Wall Street protest because these people are speaking out for the little man. When you look at the facade or behind the facade, politicians, including the Barack Obamas, including the Nancy Pelosis and others, Harry Reid's and whatnot, they are the first ones to trample upon the American taxpayer. In which way? They pass legislation which tramples and takes away rights from American citizens. Not only that, using our money frivolously, using that money to indebt us to the point where now we're up to our necks in debt and we're drowning in it. And all of this against the will of the people. Oh, and another thing. Now what they're doing with these Wall Street protesters is that they're making them dependent upon what? Government handouts. Everything is a government handout. As long as they're handing out the unemployment checks, so on and so forth, everything is okay with these people. Now you take away the entitlements and, oh boy, you're going to look for a serious issue. Some people might say, Gio, you're getting a bit political. Ladies and gentlemen, if you were to understand what the Bible says about either you work or you don't get fed, it's very simple to understand that these people don't understand what responsibility is.
And it's not that we're getting political, it's that politics have gotten into the church, and therefore we have to tackle political issues to get the mindset of the church straightened out. Yep. Because we have embraced their way of thinking. Yep. Look, Gio, in 1994, Tommy Lasorda, ex-manager of the LA Dodgers, commented on Daryl Strawberry's continual relapse into addiction. And he said, this is not a disease like they are calling it. This is a weakness. And a lot of people took umbrage to that. And the reason that that happened is because the mindset was already being established. It was starting to take hold. And so now you take people that will say, well, you see, Tommy was absolutely wrong because the American Medical Association has classified certain addictions as a disease. And I'm supposed to sit there and go, oh, if the American Medical Association said so, then it must be so. You know what? I'm not going to accept what they say.
Yep.
Because I know for a fact that pharmaceuticals, I know for a fact that medicine overall is an industry, and whatever they can classify as a disease, they're going to do so, because that way they get the insurance companies to pony up.
That's right.
To pay for that. Yep. But this is part of the rhetoric and the wars that go on behind the scenes, and then the politics of it comes to the forefront. And since we have been dumbed down, we can no longer really discern who is speaking truth to us.
Yep.
And we embrace these things. And when I say we, now I'm talking about the body of Christ, and we bring them into the church. We bring them into the body of Christ, not knowing that we are just echoes for the secular system.
Have you noticed that there's also another side to all of this, and this is the sensitivity mantra of our day and age? When you speak the truth, the hard, cold facts about any particular situation, immediately you have the talking heads coming out and saying, that's bigotry, that's hatred, that's homophobia, that's whatever the case may be, however they want to categorize it, because they want to censor the truth. Why? Because the truth is a hard pill to swallow. The truth will confront you. The truth will set you free. But here's the problem. Since we live in this PC generation, now when you speak the truth, and now you're making a person responsible for their actions, for their deeds, for their sayings, now they don't want to take on the responsibility, the commitment of their actions or of their deeds. So therefore, what do? We demonize the people that speak the truth, and we say, shut up. You have nothing to say here, because what you're speaking is hatred. What you're spewing is hatred. And all you're doing is speaking the truth about that particular situation. But again, it all goes back to our main point. Irresponsibility. People who are not committed. If you're not committed, if you're not a steadfast individual, if you're not responsible, then everything in your life is going to be turmoil. And we're seeing it in our society. Our society is filled with reprobates. It's filled with people that when you examine what it is that is in their minds and in their hearts, you ask yourself, what did they learn this? Where is it that they learned this? In the universities. A lot of churches are teaching this stuff. It's all over the place. It's spread out like a disease.
Gio, I said it before, I'm going to say it again. If there is exculpatory explanation for all of our actions, or justification for all of our actions, then we have to destroy, obliterate, absolutely, completely, any and all judgment. Hmm. Because we can get to the point where we can explain away just about everything.
Yeah.
And so somebody will come along and say, well, how can you really put that person down? How can you incarcerate him or her when look at what he or she has gone through? No wonder they're acting out this way. And so if this is the way we're going to think about everything, then we have to shut down any and all legal system, any and all judgment, because we can explain.
Yeah, everything is relative. Everything is relative now. All of a sudden, there is no absolutes. Now, anything goes. But that's the type of liberal society that anti-Christians and others, even within religious groups, are trying to take us down that path of lawlessness, which the Bible very clearly establishes as such, as lawlessness.
Perhaps setting the stage for the man of lawlessness.
Well, there you go.
The man of sin, the son of perdition.
It's a very simple horizon, panorama, to see how everything is being set up so that this person, the Antichrist, is going to come forth and simply swoop people off of their feet.
And so I guess at the end of the day, what we are asking Christians to do is to really think things over and to take up their role as light and salt.
Yeah.
Because, again, I go back to the Tommy Lasorda incident and his quote, and some of the people that just, you know, came against Tommy Lasorda, and they started quoting journals and medicine this, medicine that. And they need to understand that behind these industries or behind these organizations, there's an industry and there's money making that goes on, and there's lobbying that goes on. And the people that don't understand this, they just repeat, they echo the lie. And unfortunately, Gio, you know, in the church, we are becoming an echo for the secular and for the humanist and for the ungodly. And this has got to stop. So I urge Christians to, you know, take a stand and reconsider some of the things that they have embraced in the form of ideas, doctrines, philosophies, whatever they want to call them, and go back to where, to that place where the Bible showed them how to think. And what are the important issues of life and how to think about them, and what is the Christian posture about these things?
Yeah. In other words, to take responsibility for how you think, what you think, your actions, your sayings, all of these things.
But have you noticed, Gio, how we, in today's Christianity, we put in this field of doubt any and all things that our forefathers taught us about the Bible, but not about anything else. That's how badly the role has been reversed.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, well said. I can't add anything else to that because it's just that's the way it is. Because everything has been twisted around.
Yep.
We did a program on when we started the podcast, when evil is called good.
Yep.
And we see how everything has been switched around.
Yes.
But returning back to end our podcast today about being consistent, being responsible, assuming responsibility, we see that God is consistent. He's unwavering. He's steadfast. The Bible tells us, James specifically in chapter 1, verse 17, that he does not move. He is forever the same, yesterday, today, and forevermore, the Bible tells us about Jesus Christ and about God. And we as Christians, we have to develop the same mentality. We have to develop the same attitude, the same thought process of being consistent and steadfast. The Bible tells us that we must be perfect as our Father in heaven is. We find that in Matthew 5, 48. And Jesus said it better than anyone else. Let your yes be yes, and your no be no, because anything aside from this is what? It comes from evil. Now, that is found in Matthew 5, 37. If we as Christians, and tell me if I'm wrong or I'm right in this, if we as Christians showcase to our kids, to our youth, to other individuals who are coming into the church, other people that we preach the gospel to, that God is consistent and he is steadfast and we are the same. We honor our commitments. We're steadfast. We're responsible for everything that we undertake, whether it be a family, our relationship, our business sense, our being employees, whatever the case may be, being good friends. Therefore, those around us are going to be benefited by those very same actions. So I see that when the church stops preaching the gospel, see, automatically corrects all of these things. Why? Because the gospel tells you not only now has Jesus given you eternal salvation, but now he wants you to live in this way, to be like God is. So therefore, if the gospel message, just like we were mentioning at the beginning of the podcast, is diluted, therefore the rest of society is going to pay a dear price for it. Am I wrong or am I right?
No, and Gio, the beauty of it is that the gospel is all about mercy because we deserved, and we still deserve, judgment, but forgiveness comes our way. But it's also about responsibility. Because you have to own up to the fact that I deserve judgment, but Jesus bore it for me. And now Paul says, now that you're saved, now that you're born again, you're going to continue in that so that grace continues to abound? No.
Mm-hmm.
You put a stop to that. You put an end to that. So I think it's very well put. And I would like to recommend that our listeners take a read on the recent article that you wrote, an excellent piece on the cult to the personality. Because you point out, you outline how this subtle, this crafty way of thinking has creeped into the church, this mentality of worshiping the leaders. And then this has crept in. And once we allow this to creep in, we notice that some of these leaders are the ones that lead us down the road of no responsibility, being irresponsible. They have been the ones to bring in this mentality. And so as an attachment to what we are sharing here, I would invite our listeners to take a read, and you can offer it through whatever media it is that you offer the things that you're writing, because I think it deserves to be read.
Thank you. I appreciate that. If you are interested in receiving our weekly emails, you can email us your email address to info@lwym.org. We have just debuted a weekly e-magazine. I guess that's what they call it. Yeah, weekly e-magazine titled Uncompromised Truth, and we can send that to you free of charge. We are giving by grace by what we have received by grace, and in there you'll find articles that I write, also articles that Pastor Jesus Martinez writes, and other things. So please visit our website, lwym.org/ATA, and write us an email with your email address, and we will subscribe you to that free e-magazine. Also, we'd like for you to share these podcasts with your friends, with your family members, so they too may know the truth of the matter. Thank you again, Pastor. Thank you for being once again with us. For Pastor Jesus Martinez, this has been Giovanni Del Cristo saying, until next time, may the Lord shine his face upon you.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or suggested topics for future shows, send them our way to info@lwym.org. That's info@lwym.org. Visit our website in order to download past episodes and subscribe to our free email updates. The web address is www.lwym.org/ATA. This has been Absolute Truth Absolutely. Absolute truth in a world full of uncertainty.